Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, October the 31st, 2025. It is Halloween morning. Happy Halloween to everybody out there in the listening audience. 13 minutes past the hour, and the day has finally come. Last day of October, and it is Halloween day. So today, will it be a trick or a treat? We'll find out as the day goes along here. Should mention to everybody, we will be on this morning live from 8:15 a.m. until 1 in the afternoon. And then tonight we'll be back on for our big Halloween program, 8:15 to 10 p.m. And then Matt will have his show on tonight from 10:15 until 11. Now, I did want to say something to the Women's Club. I checked my mail yesterday, and they did send me a very nice invitation to the opening of the Women's History Resource Center, which happened this past Tuesday, I believe, October the 28th, which I believe was Tuesday, at 4 p.m. So they sent me a very nice invitation, and I didn't get the invitation until yesterday. You know how sometimes the mail is, definitely during a government shutdown. So I'm sorry I was not able to attend the ribbon cutting and dedication of this new history center, which was Wednesday at 4 p.m., but I'm glad it got done. I think it's a very important thing, and I think having our own Women's History Resource Center here in Marion is a big kudo and a big coup for us here in Marion, and something the Women's Club is doing that is just great. You know, the Women's Club has had a renaissance, really, in the last couple years, and so glad to see that they are doing so well and were able to take this carriage house, which I believe used to be where the caretakers stayed at the Women's Club home. It's out in back of the actual Barlow home, which is the Women's Club, and for years, I think the caretakers stayed there, and nobody thought too much about it. And then here we are in 2025. Who would have thought it would have been the Women's History Resource Center? That is not a bad thing at all. So I got the invitation, and sorry I was not able to attend. Now here we are on Halloween. I should mention to everybody that Halloween here in Marion will be 5:30 to 7:30 tonight. It looks like the weather's going to be okay. We were hearing weather reports earlier in the week that things were going to be a little rough. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case, so we are happy about that, that the weather is going to hold out for Halloween. Because, you know, Halloween is one of those days where you really don't want bad weather. You know, I'm trying to check my messages here. Getting messages this morning already on Halloween morning. But we'll wade through that. Let's see, what other news of the day is going on here as we kick off this Getaway Friday? Well, Matt is not here yet. We hope he will be here soon. And I should mention, we did a program here the other night with Mary Ellen Withrow and Glenn Coble, who was dressed up as former President James Buchanan. And we had some orange and black latex helium balloons that were in the program. And the the balloons have lost their luster, I should say. But it is a Halloween Friday, last day of October 2025, and so much has been going on here in Marion, news-wise, statewide, and things just going on the local level. We have not had a chance to catch up on the radio program here with one of my favorite people, the favorite daughter here in Marion, Ohio, somebody who certainly knows something about money and women's history here in Marion as she attended the big event on Tuesday at the Women's Club home, the dedication of the Women's History Resource Center. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones on this Halloween the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, happy Halloween. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm fine.
Yeah, Mary Ellen, was Halloween ever one of your favorite days of the year?
Not really. I never did much on Halloween. I did, you know, dress up way back, but it wasn't that exciting.
Yeah. You know, the only good thing about today is it looks like the weather is going to hold out for all the trick-or-treaters later today.
Yes, I know. The little kids really enjoy it, but it was, there was no Halloween really when I was growing up. We didn't go trick-or-treating. Mm.
Mary Ellen, a lot of interesting things went on this week in Marion, and we have some interesting things going on this weekend, so I wanted you to call in this morning. On Tuesday, the Women's Club had their Women's History Resource Center dedication. You attended and spoke at that event. What was that like on Tuesday?
Oh, it was lovely. I'll tell you, when I first looked at that building, I couldn't believe what they had done. It looked so good inside now. There was so much to be accomplished in it, but it's really nice now, and I guess they've moved all their information into that building where they're going to do their business work.
You know, and I believe that used to be the home of the caretakers for the Women's Club.
Yes, it was, and they put my picture on the wall, which was very nice of them.
That is very, very nice. Now, Mary Ellen, you spoke that day. What did you speak about?
Well, I talked about all of the things I remembered about the Women's Club home and how much fun I used to have there when I went to the Junior Federated Club. That was when I was first married, and all of my friends from Harding were in the club, and we just had a great time. And then I first got into politics. Well, I was president of that club in 1968. And then I later on went to Washington, and I came back and went to the Women's Club home to a meeting, and they only had 6 members. And I said, my heavens, what has happened here? And then Sherry Herr became president. And she really is an person that can do organization. And she started organizing everything, and it started to improve. And it's improved every president since then. They've really done a good job of raising money and fixing up things that needed to be fixed. For instance, the boiler and the water situation underneath the house. There was so much that had big expenses to it that they had to do, but they accomplished it, and I'll tell you, the place is beautiful.
It is. The renaissance that I have seen the Women's Club go through in the last 10 to 15 years has been amazing, and this was a big day for them, so congratulations to them. And then this weekend, Mary Ellen, tomorrow, the big dinner with the presidents for the Marion County Historical Society. You've been speaking at this event for many years. Tomorrow, what will you be speaking about, and what do you like about this event?
Well, I love history. I just really enjoy hearing the presidents talk about their lives, and I'm going to talk about there were 4 U.S. treasurers from Ohio, but I was the only one born here. Millard Fillmore had an Ohio treasurer, and Taft had an Ohio treasurer, and FDR had an Ohio treasurer. and they were all had very interesting lives. But I'm always fascinated with the history and what goes on.
And they put on a great event there as well. And it was interesting the other night when you were here in the studio, we had Glenn Coble, who is one of the reenactors, dressed up as James Buchanan, former President James Buchanan. And I learned so much the other night about President James Buchanan.
Well, I did too. I'll tell you, I knew nothing about him. And that, you see, that's what's so interesting, isn't it?
It is, and I think when it's done with a reenactor, it's different than when somebody's just telling you about it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you've got him all dressed. He's all dressed up, and he was telling how he felt, and it's great. And I get such a kick out of the different people that are dressed as presidents and how they do their hair, because the hair is really important, from back then. And then they can, they can dress up in these clothes, but the hair is a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And they put it together, and they get in those costumes, and they know those presidents because they're answering questions as them right off the cuff.
That's right. And then, of course, they each have a table that people sit with them, and they can ask them questions during the meal. They have a very good meal where they cook the food that the president's wives have did the recipes, and that's another fascinating part of the evening.
Absolutely, and it should be a great night tomorrow night down at All Occasions in Waldo. Now, Mary Ellen, when you were in here the other night, we talked about a few things, but it was our Halloween show, so we kind of stayed away from current events. So there were a couple issues I wanted to get your thoughts on, and one just happened yesterday. We had talked that 1.4 million Ohioans were set to lose their food benefits, their SNAP benefits. $264 million here in Ohio is spent on SNAP each month. Now, the big news yesterday was Governor Mike DeWine announced that he signed an executive order that he says will provide up to $25 million in food assistance as the continued federal government shutdown threatens the SNAP program and SNAP benefits. The governor said the executive order will direct the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services to give $7 million to various food banks across the state and up to $18 million in emergency relief benefits. The benefits would go to help more than 63,000 Ohioans, including more than 57,000 children who are below 50% of the federal poverty level. According to a release from DeWine's office, the Ohio Senate was forced to protect the Budget Stabilization Fund, also known as the state's Rainy Day Fund, from potentially being used to cover hundreds of millions of dollars in SNAP benefits during the shutdown. In a joint release with Ohio Senate President Rob McCauley, the Ohio House Speaker Matt Huffman, DeWine, said basically that we needed to protect our economy here in Ohio, and this would have not been good for our economy if this had happened, if the SNAP benefits had went away. We still really don't know how this is all going to be distributed because it's a federal program. We do know that obviously he's giving a lot of money to food banks and people will be able to go and get it there. I think it's going to be delivered on a weekly basis. I think they're still hammering out the kinks on this. But what do you make of the governor doing something, allocating some money where the federal government is not right now?
Well, I think that's great of him. If there's money available, I think that's the thing to do because you don't want people to starve. And I tell you, this whole thing of the government being shut down for so long is making things difficult for a lot of people, and it's terrible.
Well, Mary Ellen, it's interesting because I think we're about This is the 31st day of the shutdown, so we've got about 4 or 5 days, and it will be the longest shutdown in the history of the federal government. Looks like we're headed that way. What do you make of this? Longest shutdown soon to be in the history of the United States.
And they're not even trying to fix it. They aren't even talking to one another. And they're getting paid. That's what is so disgusting. They shouldn't be getting paid either.
Do you think any party is winning in this at this point?
No, it's terrible. It's really bad.
Mm. You know, I do have to say that DeWine, in his press release, said that the U.S. Senate, he pressed the U.S. Senate Democrats to pass a continuing resolution to reopen the government and fund SNAP. This is what Governor DeWine said. The easiest and best way to help Ohioans in need of food assistance is for the U.S. Senate Democrats to end its filibuster of SNAP benefits and other important federal programs and approve the clean continuing resolution passed by the U.S. House, DeWine said in a statement. While it is no substitute for the relief Senate Democrats could provide today, this funding will help get more resources into the household budgets of the Ohio families who need it. So Governor DeWine kind of taking a shot at the U.S. Senate Democrats. What do you make of Governor DeWine doing that in this release?
Well, he's a Republican, and of course that's maybe natural. But I don't think either one of them is doing what they should be doing. I mean, they're not giving up on anything. And I'll tell you, it's just terrible to have everybody in the situation that they're in. And the government, it seems like they're just not even trying.
So at this point, you're not happy with how either party is handling this?
No, I think they're both in bad shape, yeah. Yes.
And as far as Governor DeWine, you are happy that he has acted in regard to helping people with food benefits here in Ohio?
Yes, I think that was good of him, yeah.
Now, it's also interesting, this past week, Governor Ted Strickland appeared on this show, and yesterday, we spoke a little bit about Amy Acton during that interview with Governor Strickland, and yesterday, I looked at Amy Acton's media page, actually our friend Christian Pearson sent me a copy of this, and there was a message sent out on all of Amy Acton's media, and this is what it is. It's a picture of Amy Acton and Governor Strickland, and it's a quote. It says, "She's the kind of person we need now. She is earning the nomination just based upon her tenacious hard work. She's doing, she's going all over the state. She's talking to people, and people are responding to her in a very emotional way. She has a wonderful chance of defeating Ramaswamy," Ted Strickland, 68th governor of the state of Ohio. Now, that was a quote from the interview that I did with Governor Strickland the other day, and the Acton campaign sent that out on their social media. Now, he has not endorsed her, and he said the reason is he's friends with Tim Ryan, and he's not going to do anything until Tim Ryan decides what he's going to do. But what do you make of Governor Strickland's very kind words about Amy Acton?
Well, I think that was very nice of him. Governor Strickland is a very kind person. And that was just a nice thing to do.
Now, at this point, Mary Ellen, Governor Celeste has endorsed Amy Acton. Governor Strickland is saying nice things about her. What's your feeling as, I know you listened to one of the interviews that we did with her. What's your feeling on Amy Acton so far?
Well, I think that she's making progress. I'm watching and listening and receiving information from her, and I'm impressed with her. I'm just very interested in how she's approaching this.
At some point, could you see making an endorsement for her, or do you still need more time to think about that?
Well, I'm not going to endorse before the primary, and that's way off.
Being that she is a woman, does that have any special meaning to you, being that you certainly are a pioneer for women here in Ohio politics?
Yes, that has an edge, yes.
Yeah. Now, Mary Ellen, before I let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about local politics because you are a resident of Marion City, and we've got an election coming up here on Tuesday. And we had an interesting ripple in local government on Monday when Mayor Collins got up at the city council meeting and read this letter. And it's a short letter, but here's what he said. Due to inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30th, 2025, the inaccuracies being the result of an ongoing failure to properly complete the very important process of reconciliation, the true and accurate bank-to-book balances remain uncertain. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. As a result, the City of Marion would like to formally request a fiscal caution analysis and projection from the Auditor of State. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Mayor Bill Collins, City of Marion. And this could put Marion on fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. And most people, including 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, feel we have passed fiscal caution. We probably are in fiscal watch and could end up in fiscal emergency. What do you make of this announcement from Bill Collins on Monday?
Well, we're in a very, very bad situation with the money, and it goes back to when the city auditor was getting penalties from the IRS and nobody did anything. These were enormous penalties, and they were taking the money away from the people of Marion that had paid it in, and it has been handled so poorly by the council that I just don't want to say any more about it.
I certainly understand. One thing I do want to mention beyond that is that this week, and actually the same day that this happened, that Bill Collins sent this to the Auditor of the State, the Director of Transit resigned her position, effective immediately, and two other people in the administration who have been there quite a while, have been there at least decades each, have either retired or resigned, however you take it. So we've had three directors of departments in this city in the last month resign or retire their position with no fanfare. Is this a good sign, Mary Ellen?
No, it tells you something, doesn't it?
It definitely says something. And just as a person who has spent her life and career dealing with money in Marion, and on the state, in Ohio, and on the national level, what's your comment in general on Marion's financial situation?
Well, as I said, they should have done something way back when those first penalties came in. They should have got rid of her and hired somebody that knew what they were doing. That is so obvious to me.
Now, the first penalties, I believe, started in 21 when Robert Landon was in there. What'd you make of that whole situation?
Well, he was at Primrose, you know, and I knew Robert Landon, and I could see that he wasn't doing a good job. And then it continued on with the next person doing the same, getting more penalties from the IRS. And nothing was done.
It does seem as if there's a big problem there, and it could take the city a long time to dig out of this with the current matter. Mary Ellen, I did want to follow up, though, because Election Day is Tuesday, and one of the issues on the ballot is Charter City. You have said you are not for this, but with everything now going on in the city, a note being sent by our mayor to the Auditor of State, we're not really sure about our finances. The mayor said there could be deficit balances in accounts in the city as far as funds go. How do you feel now with just a few days before Marion will vote on this Charter City?
Well, I'm totally against the charter. I have been, and I'm still totally against it.
What would you say to people who are going to go vote Tuesday in regard to the charter, why they should not vote for it since you are against it?
Well, we've had this system of government for 250 years. Just because they don't have the right people running for office, they should go out and get the right people to run for office. That's not what they're doing. They're not performing the way they should in either one of the parties. And well, in fact, some of the good Democrats that were in office were doing a fine job, got beat by the Republicans, and that's how this whole thing started.
How do we get out of it? Do you think that maybe now, with Trump's approval rating down in Ohio, that we will see some changes in upcoming elections?
I don't know. They should get people to run for office that know how to handle money. That's not hard to find. They should be able to find people that can do that. In fact, they're out there. I know some of them.
Well, Mary Ellen, that's interesting you bring that up, because the assertion by a lot of people who want the charter city is that in Marion City, Marion County, there's nobody who is capable of doing these jobs, auditor or treasurer.
That's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous.
And a lot of people say for the money they're being paid, nobody's going to take these jobs. What do you say to that claim?
That is ridiculous, too. They're being paid good money.
So in the end, this is just going to be, do you think it'll pass on Tuesday, or do you think it'll go down?
I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it doesn't pass.
And my final question for you here this morning, Mary Ellen, as we go ahead with everything that we've talked about this morning, certainly here locally, being somebody who's been involved with money, why did people not ask questions when they didn't know what they were doing? I mean, I'm sure you had questions throughout your career. What's your best guess as to why how this could ever happen and continue for 5 years and now be at the Auditor of State?
I know. It's very hard to believe, but I have not talked to these people. I don't know the answer to that question, but the party in charge should have been more active than what they were and have done something about it.
Well, and Mariana, I guess this might be my final question, because that sparks something in my head. One of our city council people did release a statement this week when this came out, and they said, you realize you are talking about the administration that preceded us. Mayor Collins and the current council inherited this mess. We are trying to fix it. And that was pinned on the Schertzer administration. What do you make of that being said?
It was during the Schertzer administration, but it was the council that should have done this. I mean, that's who's responsible for this, is the council.
Do you feel good about the leadership in Marion, our elected officials, as of today?
No, I think things need to be changed. I don't think that we're going the right direction. When we're in a fiscal problem the way we are, things have not been done the way they should have been done.
Mary Ellen, it's always good to talk to you, even though some of these are very serious, important issues, but it's always good to talk to you. I hope you have a wonderful Halloween and a great time at dinner with the presidents, and you, of course, are welcome here anytime, and I thank you every time you come on.
Thanks, Scott. I always enjoy it.
Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Marion's favorite daughter, to be sure, Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasurer of the United States of America. I'll tell you, she's one of those people like Governor Strickland as well, who just gives her opinion. Now the phone lines can be open. Do you have a thought on what Mary Ellen said or anything else going on in the world right now? Marion, Ohio, so on and so forth. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, Mary Ellen, definitely not for the charter. And she does seem to feel that there are qualified people in Marion who could do these jobs, and that the money, I guess, is good enough for those people, is pretty much what was said in that little interview there. But a lot of good stuff going on in Marion as well, certainly with the Women's Club home and the dinner with the presidents. I've got all these papers in front of me today. It's kind of interesting. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944 on this Halloween morning, 2025. Last day of the month of October. Can you imagine that? Tomorrow's November. Don't we have a time change this weekend? I believe there is a time change coming up this weekend. Do we fall back an hour? Or spring? No, we certainly don't spring ahead. I'm pretty sure we fall back an hour. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, yes. What'd you make of Mary Ellen this morning?
She said some pretty doggone important things. And, you know, Marion City and County, we have qualified people. The part of the equation where, oh, we can't get qualified people, we need to spend more money, is a bunch of bull. The reason we don't get qualified people from the county and the city is because of the political BS. And all of that. Who in their right mind would subject themselves to such an environment?
Well, you know, it's certainly, I think, worse than it used to be locally. I think now even local candidates get attacked more than they once did.
Well, whatever, but the fact is, we have qualified people here in town that could be in these positions. And as I have always said and will still maintain, both parties need to groom a pool of candidates for the wards, for the townships, for commissioners, council, all of that stuff, so that we know that they have a working knowledge of what's going on, instead of like the president of council still doesn't know how to conduct a meeting. She's still got training wheels on. And what, she's wrapping up her second year in that position?
Well, and nobody's running against her, so there'll be a third and a fourth year.
Right. Well, it goes to what I just said. Nobody wants to step in that because they ain't going to come out smelling like a rose. So, but no, both parties, or any party, they need to have a pool of candidates vetted that they can say, look, they know what to do, they know parliamentary procedure, they know how to get things done, they know the mechanics of the job, so we're endorsing XYZ, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting because we were the first ones to have the story on Julie Welch, the director of transit, resigning this week. But boy, that story has spread like wildfire. I even see that the Marion Star has already got a story up on it. That is significant in this week that Mayor Collins sends this letter to the state.
Well, you know who the culprit in all of this is?
Who's that?
The puppet master, or I should say, the puppet mistress. It's the Marion Maid.
Oh, the Marion Maid. Yeah. We don't see much We don't see much of that anymore.
Yeah, the Marion Maid. She doesn't do windows, but she sure does a lot of other weird things, doesn't she?
This is true. Well, we'll go on down the road. Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 46 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, kicked off this morning, opening up our Halloween program, but also sharing her thoughts on a lot of things, the upcoming election day, as well as what's going on with local city government. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open if anybody has anything to say in regard to any of that. What an interesting local news week it has been, to say the least. Now, oh, I do want to mention again, we were so glad this past week to hear from one of our longtime listeners, Judy. who I hope is still out there listening. Judy, I hope you're still out there. She reappeared on the radar on Tuesday, I think it was, and it was good to hear from her. And I think that Sarah is still out there listening, our favorite bus driver here in Marion. So if Sarah gets a chance, I know she stays very busy driving the bus, but if she wants to call in and say hello, we'd love to hear from her. I saw her at Monday night city council meeting, and you know, it's always good to hear from friendly voices, and it could be on any subject. It doesn't have to be on anything that we've already talked about. So Judy and Sarah, glad to hear and see both of you this week, as well as all the other people out there in the listening audience who always participate in the program. 48 minutes past the hour, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I think we learned earlier in the week from one of our listeners that Ridgedale is in the playoffs, first time, I think, since 2003, over 20 years since they've been in the playoffs. I think that game is tonight, if I'm not mistaken. If I am mistaken, I'm sure somebody will let me know that I'm mistaken. But good to know they're doing well. You know, Ridgedale gets a lot of maybe not necessarily deserving criticism, because they are, I think at this point, the smallest school in Marion County. But good group of people out there in the Ridgedale area, and a lot of great people have been turned out of the Ridgedale School District. So glad that they are doing well. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, I am not really sure how this bit from Governor DeWine is going to work. Governor DeWine is giving this up to $25 million in food assistance to people in need here in Ohio. Now, $7 million of that will go to various food banks across the state, and $18 million will go in emergency relief benefits. Now, I'm not sure how this works. I don't know if this will go on people's card. I don't know if they'll get something from the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. It really doesn't explain it very well. All we know is that approximately 1.4 million Ohioans receive nearly $264 million in food benefits and SNAP benefits each month. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, just addressing that very subject.
Yeah, it's very I looked all around last night.
It's not confusing. The SNAP program is a federal program.
Right, right. Which is what Governor DeWine had said.
Governor DeWine is using state dollars. He has control of state. He can follow the federal formula, but he can spend state dollars any way he damn well pleases.
Right, but what I don't understand is he was asked about this earlier in the week about doing something, and he said the reason he couldn't do it with state money is because this was a federal program, and even if he wanted to use funds to do it, that it would not work because he doesn't have access to the federal accounts. So I get that he's giving...
But he can mirror that program. He doesn't have to follow it. He doesn't have to, you know, do everything per the federal guidelines, because this is state money and he can mirror those guidelines.
Right.
He can step outside the guidelines if he sees fit per the state of Ohio.
Right. I get that. But what does that mean? Does that mean that people will get a card from the state? I don't understand.
Right. I don't know the exact, methods how it's going to be carried out, but he does have the power to spend state money.
Oh, there's nearly $5 billion in the rainy day fund. He absolutely has but what I don't understand is when you read this, he says he's giving $25 million, seven of which will go to the food bank. Okay, I get that. Then $18 million in emergency relief benefits. But what we know is that Ohioans receive a total of $264 million in food benefits each month. So 18 versus 264 is a big no. And I also, I know that he has said he cannot tap into the food cards that people have because that's a federal program. So how do people get these, get this money? And also, I don't believe it goes into effect until November the 7th. So I it's just not explained very well.
Yeah. Well, Matt Damschroeder is the director of the Department of Job and Family Services, so maybe you can contact him and get some answers.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you make of Governor DeWine doing this and basically saying the reason he's doing this is he fears that this will crash Ohio's economy?
Well, he's right. I mean, because these people, you know, reinvest the money locally. They're buying at local grocery stores, and you know, they're maybe substituting this money for rent money or something, you know, that they don't have to spend their rent money on this. And so it is helping the Ohio economy.
Well, but see, now that's been the dirty secret about food benefits that I have said on this show for years, that one of the reasons nobody really wants to get rid of them, and we now found out the number is over $260 million a month go in, you can't put it in the bank. It has to be spent in the economy, and when you pump $260+ million into the economy every month, it is an economy stimulator because stores do not get food card. They get money. They get profit.
It's an economic stimulator, and it also benefits, you know, the farming group in Ohio as well, who are providing that food. And so it's giving them a market for their produce. I mean, it helps the economy in so many different ways.
Well, it's just interesting to me that the DeWine administration was actually able to admit this, that he said Ohio's got a great economy and we cannot afford, and it's all about SNAP, that we cannot afford for this to happen.
Right.
So it's an interesting story. Do you think Governor DeWine wanted to do this?
I hope he did, because it's the right thing to do. I mean, if we're sitting on $5 billion of rainy day funds that's just gathering interest somewhere, and we need, you know, some multi-millions, you know, maybe a you know, 1% of that $5 billion, you know, to help, you know the poor and working families in Ohio, is just the right thing to do.
Well, Mary Ellen had a lot to say this morning. What do you make of what Mary Ellen had to say?
I only caught half of what she said. You know, I tuned in late. I'm sorry, I have to admit that. But, I mean, she's always on the point with so many things that I'm just going to blindly agree with her at this point.
Well, you if you caught the end of it, you probably caught the part about local government. What do you make of all the kerfluffle going on this week in Marion City government?
Well, it's always easy to blame it on the past administration, but when you're two years in and you're not looking at the numbers, then you're flying blind as well.
Well,
I mean, it's surprising that they put out the call for help, so things must be really serious, you know, if you're calling for help in that fashion.
Well, and I think to lose the transit director and two other directors either to retirement or resignation in the course of 1 month, and the transit director resigns the same day that the letter is sent to the state, I think Governor Collins is trying to play that off in the newspaper as, well, nothing to see here. Well, that's a little...
I would expect the directors of various departments to have a more intimate knowledge of their budget. And maybe they're seeing the edge of the cliff here as well. I don't know. But I'm just thinking that they have a better understanding of where things are heading than you and I might.
Well, it's interesting because we've spent a lot of time over the last year. It's been almost exactly a year since the Night Moves bus was introduced. Question after question after question asked about how this is going to be done, and is it costing money, and what is the cost, and council people. I certainly know Jason Schauber has tried to get numbers. Resolutions were put through trying to make the administration provide numbers on a monthly basis. None of that could get passed. I don't think we ever did get fully accurate numbers on what this added to the program. And it's interesting, the person who was there in the transit department when this was all implemented and laid out by the administration was Julie Welch, and the day the letter goes to the state auditor, she resigns immediately, not even 2 weeks' notice.
No.
Coincidence?
No.
So...
It may take 2 years for it all to come out, but there's something brewing there.
I think it's going to be, and Mayor Collins' idea that, well, you know, this caught us by surprise, but she's moving on, I think is basically what, I don't know why he doesn't want to speak on this stuff. I really don't. It's a mystery to me.
Well, I mean, if it caught him by surprise, then maybe he knows nothing, and that's why he doesn't come on, because he has nothing to say.
Well, let me just make sure I have the quote right from the Marion Star this morning, because he did give them a quote, which, you know, as I've always said, it's easier to give quotes, because, you know, than be on a radio show. But his quote, I believe, I won't say we were expecting that. But after some meetings with her and some conversations, we decided it was probably better for both parties, and she decided to resign. Now, that's his quote.
Well, she's free to speak. Maybe she'll be on Monday. We'll call him later today.
I know she listens, and if she's out there, we'd be glad to hear from her. Julie, we're here. Hey, thanks.
Right. Well,
bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Happy Halloween. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And as I say, they are also open to the administration or any city council members who would have anything to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. We would enjoy talking with you. Anybody can call in. We're days away from an election. We've got all kinds of city news going on here and some statewide news. We're always open. And will Matt show up? Maybe he's done the disappearing act for Halloween. We have not seen him yet. But the one thing you can be certain for is that we will continue on here on WGH Talk Radio. So don't you dare go anywhere. We are streaming live, WWGH1071.com, or you can get us by downloading the absolutely free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WGH Talk. This is the place to be for news and Halloween fun. Maybe you're carving a pumpkin as you're listening to this show this morning. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice?